What is the least popular of Christian virtues? Here's Skip Heitzig.
C.S. Lewis was right when he said chastity is the most unpopular of Christian virtues. When I was in Israel, I was sharing my faith with somebody from England. And he was quite honest about it all. He wasn't putting on any airs at all. He said, oh, let me just tell you straight. I don't want to become a Christian because I don't want to give up sex. I said, God isn't asking you to give up sex. He's asking you to give sex over to his control. He invented it, my friend. It was his idea. But that which is God given, as we have said, must also be God guided.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God and find the way into his love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Chastity sounds like a word from another planet, doesn't it? Purity and abstinence also are unpopular terms. And with the fall of these concepts from popularity comes the rise of adultery and other vices that wreak havoc in marriages worldwide. Now, today in The Connection, we have an important teaching from our series, Keep Calm and Marry On. It's part one of a message that Pastor Skip has titled, Weeds of Unfaithfulness in the Garden of Love. And we'll begin in just a moment. But first, I want to let you know about our Connection Christmas catalog and the opportunity to support our ministry while purchasing gifts for your family and friends. And here's more.
As we count down the days to Christmas, it seems to be getting harder to find gifts that count. Be encouraged as you shop today with resources from our Connection Christmas catalog. This year's selections include a bundle of three of Pastor Skip's most popular series on MP3, Believe 879, an in-depth study in the book of John, Keep Calm and Marry On, our series focused on every aspect of marriage, and The Bible from 30,000 Feet, an incredible overview of the entire Bible, book by book, hitting all of the highlights. Each series is loaded on a customized MP3 player with earbuds and includes a wall charger. You may want to give all three players as a gift, or divide the package among your friends and keep one for yourself. Find out more and order today at skipheitzig.com or order when you call 1-800-922-1888. Remember, as our gift to you this Christmas season, shipping on everything from our Christmas catalog is free. That number once again is 1-800-922-1888.
You know, weeds have no trouble growing, and they can be hard to uproot, especially when they're choking out our love life. And Skip Heitzig will talk about that more next, right here on The Connection.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into his love. Make the connection.
You'll want to stay tuned after the teaching today for a special interview with Skip and his wife, Lenya. And now let's join him in Matthew chapter 5 for our teaching today.
Before I left the house, I saw this once again on my bookshelf, and I just thought I would grab it because it proves a point. It's a little book called The Worst Case Scenario Survival Handbook. It was put out as a novelty a few years ago. I think I bought it at Starbucks or something. It's actual useful material, perhaps, if you're in a desperate worst-case scenario situation. For example, there's a chapter on how to escape from a sinking car, how to fend off a shark. Not that any of you today are probably going to get close to one. How to escape from a bear, how to escape from a mountain lion, how to wrestle free from an alligator is part of the book, how to escape killer bees, how to deal with a charging bull. How to win a sword fight is included. Here's one. How to jump from a building into a dumpster. In case you need to know, the information's here. How to deliver a baby in a taxi cab. How to land a plane. But what caught my eye was this one that says, how to survive if your parachute fails to open. And I thought, I've got to read that one. And I did. And basically, you have to make sure that somebody else is jumping out of the airplane with you and their parachute does open so that you could tie to them. Otherwise, you're dead meat. So, worst case scenario, survival handbook. Now, I pulled this off the shelf for a couple reasons. This illustrates a point I want to make. The information in this book presupposes that in any of these situations, you will already be familiar with the material in advance. See, you're not going to fall from an airplane and go, where's that little yellow book? And pull it out and start reading up. It presupposes that you know it and that it's second nature to you. You practice it. It's quick to the draw. You know it immediately. So you know the information in the book. Number two, a lot of these presuppose that there's somebody else in the situation involved with you for help. And I thought about what we're dealing with this morning, and the information that we talk about is really toward a worst case scenario. And it presupposes that you know what's in God's book and that you're tied to God's people. That will help you greatly. Several years ago, when Dear Abby was still writing articles for newspapers, Abigail Van Buren, somebody wrote into her and said, Dear Abby, I'm in love and I'm having an affair with two different women. I can't marry them both. Please tell me what to do, but don't give me any of that morality stuff. Listen to Abby's answer. It's classic. Dear sir, the only difference between humans and animals is morality. Please write to a veterinarian. I want to talk about an uncomfortable subject for some. Lust and adultery. Or, to put it in the analogy we've spoken about the last 2 weeks, the fire burning outside the fireplace. Now, last week we looked at the Song of Solomon, if you recall. And in that book, Solomon describes his marriage as a garden and as his wife as a garden enclosed. But we also know something about Solomon. He was unfaithful to that wife, if indeed that was the first and original wife. He married 699 others eventually. He had a problem in this area. Now, you might not have a problem in this area, and in even hearing these words, you say, this has nothing to do with me. I'd never fall into such sin. We have an ideal marriage. Well, then great. Use this as preventative maintenance or information you can share with others who have problems. But don't be so quick on the draw. Because the Bible says, to those who think they stand, they should take heed lest they fall. It could be that you're actually having an affair, or maybe you're considering having an affair. In fact, I may be addressing someone who is so arrogant as to even think, well, one person alone can't satisfy me. Did you know that several years ago on television, a talk show host had an actor that he was interviewing? The actor was known, well known, for his romantic roles in movies that he was in. And the talk show host asked the actor a typical question that you would imagine. He said, what makes a great lover? And I'm sure the talk show host and the audience expected some macho playboy answer. What they got, they did not expect. This actor said, a great lover is someone who can satisfy one woman all her life and be satisfied with one woman all his life. A great lover is not someone who goes from woman to woman. Any dog can do that. You could have heard a pin drop on that talk show. Now we look at our text. In Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus says in verse 27, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. There's a word that I want to consider right off the bat that's in that text. It's the word lust. Lust. That's the battle, lust. But here's what I want you to understand about it. The word translated here, lust, is a Greek word, epithumeo, which simply means, get this, a strong desire. A strong desire. And sometimes the Bible uses it as a strong desire for something good, as well as a strong desire for something bad. Example, Luke chapter 17. A group of people wanted or longed to see Jesus. The word epithumeo is used. That's a good longing. I want to see Jesus. That's a great craving to have. In Luke chapter 22, the same word is used of Jesus longing to be with his disciples for Passover. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul uses it of a man who desires the office of a bishop or an overseer, that he desires something good. But the word can also be used to crave after something that is bad. Like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the children of Israel had a desire for evil things. And here it's translated lust, sinful lust. Now let's be honest. Staying sexually pure in today's society is extremely difficult because virtually every media outlet dishes out this stuff nonstop, 24/7. Whether it's late night programming or Viagra commercials or primetime television. In fact, in one media research study, 1 hour of primetime depicts sex outside of marriage 8 times more than any implication of sex in marriage. And there are dirty books, and there are dirty magazines, and there are dirty movies, and there are dirty songs to feed a variety of dirty minds and hearts across this nation. C.S. Lewis was right when he said, chastity is the most unpopular of Christian virtues. When I was in Israel, I was sharing my faith with somebody from England. And he was quite honest about it all. He wasn't putting on any airs at all. He said, oh, let me just tell you straight. I don't want to become a Christian because I don't want to give up sex. I said, God isn't asking you to give up sex. He's asking you to give sex over to his control. He invented it, my friend. It was his idea. But that which is God-given, as we have said, must also be God-guided, that impulse. There's a beautiful blonde senior, true story, beautiful young blonde high school senior girl who was giving reasons why she was going to stay sexually pure until marriage. And this is what she said. When we date, we give flowers and candy. When we get engaged, we give something more personal and valuable like diamonds. But when we get married, we give our very selves. And I want to save my whole self to give away the most precious thing that I have to the man that I'm going to be married to. Now, we have read just 4 verses in Matthew 5, and we're going to look back over them, and I want you to notice 4 truths, 4 principles about lust. The first one is the most obvious. Lust is a considerable problem. Always has been. Look how Jesus puts it. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Now, how many years ago was Jesus saying this? 2,000 years. And he's referring back to the commandment from the 10 commandments, the 7th commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, written 1400 BC. So we're dealing with an issue that was a problem 3,400 years ago. You have heard that it was said to those of old. It's always been a major problem. That's why God put it in the top 10 list called the 10 commandments. By the way, do you remember what the punishment was for somebody caught in adultery? Stoning to death. Can you imagine if that penalty were invoked today? You laugh because you know that there'd be piles of rocks everywhere on the landscape. But it was a considerable problem. The children of Israel, as they went into the land, faced a sensual religious system, the worship of Baal. Remember Baal from the Old Testament? And Ashtaroth or Ashtoreth, the female counterpart to Baal. And we know that they were worshipped by sexual acts underneath groves of trees that became very popular even around the children of Israel's time. It was an issue for them. They had to face that. And then if we move even a little closer toward the New Testament, when the Greco-Roman culture took over, Greeks saw sex as merely a biological function without any moral ties whatsoever. A few months ago, I stood in the city of Corinth. And there in the city of Corinth, when you're at ground level, you look up to a hill called the Acro-Corinth, where a temple stood, the temple of Aphrodite. And get this, 1,000 priestesses, they were prostitutes, came down into the city of Corinth every evening to ply their trade to get men to worship with them to this goddess of love. And they had no problem doing so. It's part of their sexual religious system. In fact, there was even a term coined in Greek, in the Greek language, Corinthiadzesphai, which means to play the Corinthian, because anytime anybody played a Corinthian in one of the Greek plays, he was depicted as a sex-driven, drunk, debauched individual. It became a byword. And did you know that the Greeks even invented a word simply to describe sexual, sensual, physical love? It's the word eros. That's a Greek word. We get our term erotic or eroticism from it. And did you know that the word means to grab or to grasp? The idea is to grasp something in order to satisfy myself. It's all about self-indulgence. It was and is a considerable problem. Men like Samson struggled with it. King David struggled with it. Absalom struggled with it. Even Joseph was tempted in this area. Because it's a considerable problem, I want to make a few statements. Number one, we're all human beings, created in God's image, but fallen from that image, with all of the tragedy and glory that comes with that package. We're human beings. Number two, we are sexual beings. A part of our humanity is our sexuality. God made them, it says in Genesis, male and female. Angels may be sexless, humans are not. We are human beings, we are sexual beings. Number three, we are all sinful beings. None of us have arrived. All of us struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And one of the great doctrines from the Bible is called the doctrine of depravity, that says mankind is fallen and every part of our being is tainted with sin, including our sexuality. Dr. Merville Vincent from Harvard Medical School said, and I'm quoting, "In God's view, I suspect we are all sexual deviants. I doubt there is anyone who has not had a lustful thought that deviated from God's perfect ideal of sexuality," end quote. No one except Jesus Christ has been sexually sinless. So we can't come here with any holier-than-thou attitudes. But we have to admit it's a considerable problem, because the porn industry in our nation is a $10 billion dollar per year industry, and lust that leads to adultery is a considerable problem. One out of nine marriages that broke up, one out of nine said infidelity is the root cause of the breakup of their marriage. It's a considerable problem. It's been going on for a long time. It continues to this day, turned up to 10. The problem is on steroids now because of all the media outlets we have. Here's the second point to be made. Not only is it a considerable problem, it is at the beginning a covert problem. You see, nobody sees lust. It takes place in the mind, in the thought life. Thoughts are always the parents of the deeds. The heart is the soil where the seed is planted. Now notice, in verse 28, Jesus said, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman..." You see, his audience had thought, well, we're guiltless. We never committed the act of adultery. So Jesus goes to a deeper level of the heart. You've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now you'll notice something. Jesus is addressing men here. Looking at a woman to lust for her in his heart. Why would he do that? Because men are the principal offenders. They're not the only offenders. We know that. There can be lust by a woman for a woman, by a man for a man, by a man for a woman, and by a woman for a man. That's becoming sort of more vogue these days. There's a book that is the best-selling paperback book ever. It has sold so far 40 million copies in 37 different countries. It has outsold even the Harry Potter series, which took an all-time record. This is a book called 50 Shades of Grey, an erotic novel for women, with explicit sexual scenes, so explicit it has been dubbed mommy porn, targeted at young women. And experts say it is very, very addictive. 50 Shades of Grey. Addressing those lustful thoughts, not just in men, but in women. Now here Jesus is speaking about being tempted. Nobody can avoid being tempted. He's not condemning the temptation, but what we do with the temptation.
Well, those are some discouraging things to think about, but it's so important to talk about them so we can live fully for God. And that's where we need to pause today's teaching on this edition of The Connection with Skip Heitzig. Today's message was called Weeds of Unfaithfulness in the Garden of Love. And right now we have Skip and his wife Lenya in studio with some more that they'd like to share.
This series, really, you've pulled out all the stops. I don't think there's anything that you've overlooked that could be a problem in a relationship and marriage. Today, you touched on a very large problem in our world, and it's pornography. You know, and I work with women's ministry. Pornography for women is growing rapidly. You know, it used to be so disproportionate men to women, and it's even becoming a problem.
Why do you think that is? That is a modern phenomenon. I've read the same.
I think it's probably because the guys are doing it and the girls want to know what they're missing or to be cued in or informed, like, you know, maybe what am I supposed to do if that's what they're looking at?
Or is the problem of fantasy that they're not experiencing what they think they should?
I don't know because I don't view it or anything and I don't talk about it. But here's my impression. I think women get more caught up in a romantic novel than they would in pornography because I think we're looking for intimacy and romance. And I think that pornography is a little more graphic. And so I don't know that that's really what they're looking for. I don't know. Maybe the porn industry has shifted what they're offering and are trying to market more for women. But regardless of why, it is happening. So if someone listening is caught up in that, what are some resources that can help them escape?
Well, there's a new lifestyle booklet, first of all, we'll just let you know about. It's called Lust, How to Conquer It. So we're going to make that available because it deals specifically with that subject. But in short, I would say two things. Burn bridges and build bridges. Burn bridges of temptation, things that you know are going to tempt you, things you know that are going to drag you down, things you would watch or things you would hear or people you would be around. If you're left alone, what you have access to. If you go into a store, what aisle you would walk down because of magazine displays. So burn bridges of temptation.
Second, kind of like that idea of, you know, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. So if it's cable, get rid of it. You know, put even a child safety on your computer if that's what you've got to do to keep.
Or have a friend that you're accountable, that he gets an internet report.
Right.
Joseph did that, essentially. He made a covenant, and when it was crossed, you know, he ran out, and he just knew what line he could go up to, and that was it. The other thing is to build bridges of affection with your spouse and to seek the satisfaction through communication and intimacy so that there's a satisfaction that takes place so that you're drinking water from your own well, your own cistern, and you're not wanting to look anywhere else.
Well, thanks so much for that, Skip and Lenya. And today's message is just part of our current Connection teaching series, Keep Calm and Marry On. And you can purchase a copy of this teaching on an audio CD for only $6. Or if you'd like to get a personal copy of this entire 22-message series, you can get it preloaded on an MP3 player, complete with earbuds, for only $35. Get yours today at skipheitzig.com. Or if you prefer to call, that number is 1-800-922-1888.
And make the connection.
Of unfaithfulness in the garden of love. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for some solutions to these very real problems as we continue our series Keep Calm and Marry On. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.